Christmas season here, and you know, I was just sort of thinking through what to share during this time, and yeah, the thing that kept coming to my heart was the idea of reconciliation. You know, we sing that Christmas carol that says God and sinners reconciled, and I want to talk about that. I want to talk about reconciliation for the next few weeks, and that's what Christmas is about, is that God took the initiative, if you want to call it that, to reconcile us back into a relationship with him. And today I want to talk about that a little bit. Then I want to talk maybe next time on reconciliation with each other. You know, because we're reconciled with God, he wants us to learn how to reconcile our own relationships. And how many of you know that the church would be a perfect place if it weren't for the people? And so we got to work through relationships and learn how to reconcile when we have differences or issues or problems. And there's a lot the Bible has to say about that. So we're going to learn about that. And then later on, I want to talk about something called the ministry of reconciliation, that we've been reconciled to God, and that means that we have a mission, and that is to help others to become reconciled to God. And that's what we're going to talk about during this Christmas season, reconciliation. So, Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to open our hearts to your word this morning and teach us, Lord. Help me to communicate these things you've put upon my heart in a way that would be inspiring, but would also give us an insight into your heart, what you're doing, Lord, in this earth today. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Luke chapter 2, it says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock. This is a Christmas story. Keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, listen to the message. I bring you good news." This is the Greek word evangelion, if you can say evangelion, but basically means the gospel. I'm bringing good news to you. And here's the good news. It's a news of great joy, and it's for who? All people. So God's bringing this message to the entire world, a message called good news, and it's going to bring great joy if you understand it, and it's for everybody. And then he says, here's the reason, because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That is the message that God gave to this world the morning that Jesus came into this world. It was a message of good news, and that message of good news still is ringing throughout the world today. It is still the gospel that we share with other people that Christmas was all about. There would be no gospel if Jesus had not come to the world. And it's a message of joy. You know, how many of you have found joy since coming to know Jesus? It's a message of great joy, and it's for all people. This message of the good news is for every person on this planet. And there are still billions and billions of people who've not ever heard this message of Jesus. There are still billions, but we oftentimes speak about the people around the world, and there are nations and countries of people who haven't heard the gospel, or places where that message has been not allowed to be spoken. But there are still people even in our city who have not heard or don't know. We still run into people when we go out and share the gospel who don't know the story of Jesus. They've not heard it. They've grown up in a generation that hasn't been imparted to them. And so this message is still there. It's still to be spoken. It's a message of great joy for all people. Now, I want to just go through a paragraph that I wrote down here. The true significance of the birth of Jesus only makes sense when you understand how badly sin destroyed our world. It doesn't make sense otherwise. Why would he come? Why would he leave heaven and come to this earth as bad as the condition it was in if it wasn't for his love for us? Jesus never would have had to leave heaven and come here if it weren't for sin. When sin entered the world, everything changed for the worse. When Adam and Eve partook of that fruit, the Bible says their eyes were opened, and it was not in a good sense. As soon as their eyes were opened, they recognized good and evil, and they saw themselves as naked, and they ran and they hid from God. And people still hide from God. On the day that they ate that fruit, the Bible says they died. They had this life with God, but when they ate that fruit, when sin entered in, death came unto them. And now the Bible says death passes on to all people. You know the reason why we die today? The reason why we have funerals today? It's because of sin. Sin has destroyed what God had planned for this planet. What he had in, what was in his heart for us, sin destroyed it. We became what the Bible calls an enemy of God because of sin. Enemies. We were directly opposed to him. We became an enemy of God. We became slaves to sin, is how the Bible describes it. Slaves. You ever felt like that? You're just a slave. You just can't stop. You're a slave to sin. That's what sin caused. We became spiritually dead. We hid from God. You know, whereas before, Adam and Eve had this relationship where they walked with him and they talked with him. But as soon as sin entered the world, whether they were ashamed or fearful or maybe a combination of all of the above, they ran from him and they hid from him. And sin causes this separation between us and God. Sin makes us create our own sense of righteousness. You know what Adam and Eve did? They covered themselves with fig leaves as if that was going to do something. Where the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You can't cover sin with a fig leaf. It has to be covered by blood. There has to be a death. And so the Lord took the life of an animal, spilled the blood, and covered Adam and Eve with skins, because we tend to try to put forth our own righteousness. There are people today who will not receive the blessing of what Jesus has done by dying on the cross, and they'll choose to work out their own righteousness. And it's nothing more than fig trees. The Bible says that all of our own righteousness is like filthy rags. And if you know anything about the Hebrew, that's talking about a woman's menstrual cloth. That's what our own self-righteousness, trying to be right with God by our own good works, is like in the eyes of the Lord. It's worthless. And yet, you will talk to people today all throughout our city that somehow they think because I've tried to be a good person, or I go to church, or I this, or I that, and they're putting all their eggs in the basket of their own attempts at righteousness. And that's what Adam and Eve did with the fig leaves, but it wasn't enough. It required something more. It required death. Wages of sin is death. And so the Lord not only gave a substitute, because he spared Adam and Eve in a sense, had mercy on them, and poured out the blood of this other animal. But at the same time, he made a promise to them that one day the seed of the woman would come and crush the head of the serpent. And that was pointing to Jesus, who would come thousands of years later, born on Christmas Day. I feel like on the day that Jesus was born, this is just me, it's not in the Bible this way, But I think like on the day that Jesus was born and all the angels were singing in heaven, that the enemy Satan heard a gigantic footprint hit the ground and say, "I'm coming for you." That's what Jesus did on Christmas Day. You know, he prophesied about it a couple of thousand years earlier, but now it's coming to reality here. I only have a few years left here. So Jesus is coming to do business. That's what Christmas is about. He's coming to reconcile the world. He's coming to make everything right. Everything that was messed up because of sin, I'm coming to do business, Jesus, and make it right. That's what reconciliation is. Sin spread throughout the world with rebellion and wickedness. The flood was needed to wipe away all that rebellion. Humanity became hopeless, unable to restore themselves, lost, in need of redemption. But God promised. He promised to send a Savior. And that's what these angels were saying. Behold, I bring you good news. You know, all that the world had received as devastation because of sin, I'm bringing some good news. I'm a Savior. I'm Christ the Lord. Things were so bad, it took God himself to come and do something about it. We couldn't do anything to solve the problem. It took God himself. One time it says that Jesus is called Emmanuel, which is God with us. God had to solve this problem. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is what we all need. It's a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He is the Lord Almighty. The God who made us came to save us. That's what Christmas is. What happened when sin entered the world? Here's a couple of scriptures. Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. You know, sin causes a separation between us and God. And sometimes we're so used to living with sin in our life that way that we don't even recognize that we're separated from him. It's almost like we're oblivious to it. But your iniquities have made a separation. Another scripture in Romans 8:7 says, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile toward God. You know, we become the enemy of God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. That's what sin does in us. It makes us enemies. It separates us from God. Reconciliation means to take these who are enemies and bring them back together again. How is it that God's going to take me, who is his enemy, me who is in my mind creating works that are not pleasing to him, me who have shut him out of my life, how is he going to take and reconcile me? It's through what Jesus did. Sin also corrupted creation, the actual world itself. I know there's lots of things happening in our world today. And we're trying many things to do to try to save our planet. But our planet is affected by sin. That's something you got to realize. It's not all because of global warming. There are things happening on our planet today because of sin. This is what the Bible teaches. The creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. You know, the world, the creation itself is waiting for the revelation of these sons of God, is what he calls them. When God works within his church and raises his people to the place they're glorified, God's also going to create a new heaven and a new earth on that day. There's something that happened in all of creation because of sin, not just in us and our relationship with God, but in the world, in the creation. Creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility. This is a word that means frustration, decay, and purposelessness. The natural world became subject to death, decay, and disorder. as a consequence of our sin. And it won't be, the problem with the world won't be solved until Jesus solves it. He came to reconcile everything back to himself. The earth was made subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. That's the world that we live in, brothers and sisters. So why did Jesus come? 1 Timothy 1. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen. How many could raise their hand? Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to reconcile us who were his enemies, us who were sinners, back into a relationship. When you see at your home, if you have a little nativity set or you're singing the little Christmas songs, remember the whole reason that exists is for Jesus to come and reconcile sinners. I'm coming to make things right. I'm coming to take whatever sin destroyed, both in the relationship between God and man and the effects on this planet, I'm coming to make it right. That's why Jesus came. He came in the world to save sinners. And I like what Paul writes here. And I'm glad that the Holy Spirit decided to put it in the Bible. He said, I am the foremost. So how many of you think you're a great sinner? Let me see your hand. You're not as great as Paul. He said, I am the foremost, the chiefest. Some versions say I was the chiefest, the greatest. And he's saying, I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. You know, you may sit down here and say, hey, you know what? My sins are so great, God could never forgive me. And Paul's saying, no, that's not possible, because I am the foremost and he forgave me. And I just want you to know my life stands here as an example that he's patient and long-suffering. And if he saved me, he can save anybody. That's kind of what he's saying here. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Colossians 1:19. In him, in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. We talk about Emmanuel, God with us. This is what it's talking about. All the fullness of God is in Jesus. He is God who became a man. When Jesus came down to the earth, it was God coming to the earth, because the problem is so big, only God can solve it. All the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. So Jesus is the great reconciler. That's what he's doing. He came to reconcile this creation, which includes mankind, back to God. Everything that that sin destroyed, everything that Satan tried to destroy, Jesus is coming to remedy. Make it right. You know, we're in the midst of it. It's not done yet. The Bible says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. We are still experiencing the effects of sin in this world and in our lives. But we're on the journey to the end, when the last enemy will be destroyed, which is death, and there will be a resurrection. You think about this. One day, every person that you know and you love who's died and passed away, they're going to come out of the grave again. Talk about reconciliation. The wages of sin is death, but he overcame it. And we're going to come out of that ground, brothers and sisters. When the voice of Jesus cries out, in the end, there will be a resurrection. The last enemy destroyed is death. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So Jesus came to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. How do you do it? By making peace by his blood. See, there's something that had to come there to make peace, to to reconcile, to take these enemies and bring them together. What was it? What did it take to make that happen? The blood of Jesus. Nothing else. What else could pay for that? What else could purchase that kind of reconciliation? Nothing. It was the blood of Jesus, of his cross. And you who once were alienated and hostile in your minds, doing evil deeds, next slide, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. When you see Jesus on the cross, it is the reconciliation of God and his creation. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it was him coming to save sinners. And not only does he reconcile us, look what else it says. He says that he wants to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. On that day, when you come out of the grave and you go stand before the Lord, if you've come to Jesus and you've been reconciled in that relationship, you know what he sees? Blameless. That's what he sees. How can that be? I was a sinner. I was an enemy of God. I was against you, Lord. I was not submitted to your ways. How could it be that now I'm standing before you blameless because Jesus reconciled me? The only answer, I'm not standing there with any fig leaves. I'm standing there with the blood of his cross. And that is what reconciles me. It's not me giving my money to the church. It's not me being a great volunteer. It's not me sacrificing my life. None of those things will ever reconcile me to God. It is only the blood of his son, Jesus. And the Lord gave us a little picture of that back in the Garden of Eden when he didn't bring death to Adam and Eve. He brought death to another animal as a substitute. Their blood was spilled instead of Adam and Eve. And Jesus is the ultimate substitute, the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate blood that was spilled. The Bible says the blood of bulls and goats will never, ever cleanse us from sin, but only the blood of Jesus. So he came to reconcile us, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. I love the picture of the prodigal son. When that son came back to the father didn't point at all of his sin, did he? He was so glad the son had come back. That's what he pointed to. And when you stand before the Lord, he's not going to say, man, I wish you wouldn't have been so nasty. Or I wish you wouldn't have done this or that. He's going to see you as blameless son or daughter of God. But only because of Jesus. Holy, blameless, above reproach. That's your future, brothers and sisters. That's where you're headed. If indeed you continue. There's a continuing in the faith that's so important here. Keep walking with Jesus. Don't give up. You feel like giving up? Stop that and say, Lord, help me to continue. Help me to put my feet solidly down, my roots down strong and continue with you, Lord. Continue. There's such a beautiful future ahead. He talks about being stable and steadfast. These are two different words in the Greek language. One has to do with like a foundation, like you're solidly locked into a foundation. And the other word, steadfast, just means like resolve, like I'm not going to be moved away. One guy illustrated it like a tree. He said, think of a tree like its roots go down. So that's like the foundation. But the resolve is when the winds are blowing, it's not moving. It's on a good foundation, but nothing pushes it away. And Paul is saying to this church, he said, hey, look at this thing that Jesus did for you. He reconciled you to God, so continue in him. Be steadfast, be stable. Don't be moved, not shifting away from this hope that we have. The hope of what? The gospel. It's the hope of the gospel that you have heard and which has been proclaimed in all of heaven and of which I, Paul, became a minister. That's the good news the angel spoke about earlier. It's the good news that we still proclaim today. What is the good news? The good news is you're a sinner. How is that good news? It's good news because God came to do something about it. Amen. I want to share with you as we close a very simple way to share the gospel. It's not the three circles. I have a new way to share with you. Simple way. It's with using four symbols. You can draw it on a piece of paper and help a friend come to know Jesus. What's it look like? Well, you draw a little heart first. And the heart represents, what do you think? God loves me. There's a great scripture here that says, the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. You can never question the goodness and the love of God. They endure forever. The next picture you draw is a little something you had in high school, which is a little division sign. This represents sin. We read a little bit ago that God was good and his love lasts forever. Well, it is the goodness of God that has to judge sin. You know, how can some judge who is a good judge allow a murder to go unpunished? You know what I'm saying? So somebody who's good, who's righteous, and who's just has to punish sin. So on the one hand, you have the goodness of God that requires something to be done because of sin. Let's call it judgment. But it is then the love of God, that other aspect that causes him to do something because of the sin. We'll talk about that in a minute. So the division sign is Isaiah 59:2. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and God. People need to understand that they are separated from him. Next, you draw a cross. Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love. See, the goodness of God moves him to bring judgment. The love of God says, I'm going to bring that on my son. He turned the wrath for sin upon his own son instead of us. That's the gospel. It's the good news. Jesus came to reconcile the world through the blood of his cross. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, he didn't wait for us to get our life together. Sometimes, you know what? One of these days I'll get my life together and I'll turn to Jesus. No, you turn to Jesus when your life's messed up because he came to reconcile you. He died for us while we were sinners. And then the last thing he draws is a little question mark. I always say, what are you going to do about it? Now, this is the truth, that God loves you, but he's also a just God. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And my sin requires a judgment. But because of his love, he died for me. Jesus is the only way. And we can spend the rest of our life with fig leaves or to come to that blood that he spilled on the cross. And that's the good news, that God made a way for all of mankind to be reconciled to him. What are you going to do about it? Well, it says in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You know, in confessing that with your mouth is not just saying in idle words. It is basically pledging allegiance to Jesus. You are my Lord. You've reconciled me back to God. Now I follow you. You're the Lord. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised from the dead, you will be saved. The resurrection is important to the gospel because the resurrection is what proves that Jesus overcame sin. The wages of sin is death. Death no longer has a hold on him because he's overcame it. He's alive. Even though he took the entire sin of the world upon himself, there's no death there anymore. It's been dealt with, paid for. That's what Christmas is all about. I'd like you to stand with me as we close. And, you know, think about the beautiful thing that Jesus has done. And this year, as you listen to some of your Christmas carols, you'd be surprised how many of them carry this message. And pay attention maybe to the words you're singing. God and sinners reconciled. We sing that, but look at what it means. You know, it means so much. And when you get a picture of a little Jesus in a manger and the angels and all that, we get sort of, we get sentimental and kind of warm and fuzzy on the inside. That's Jesus stepping into the world to deal with the enemy. Amen. So I'm celebrating this Christmas in a different way, just remembering the reconciliation of God. Isn't that a simple way to share the gospel? A heart, a division sign, a cross, and a question mark. You can have that conversation with any of your friends. Say, hey, let me show you this little picture. And use it to explain to them this good news of Jesus. So, Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to let us always remember what you've done. You came to save sinners. You came to reconcile all things to yourself. Lord, thank you that you came to us and you called us to come to you. We responded to that. And this morning, I just want to pray that each one of us would be thankful for the reconciliation that Jesus has brought about in our life. And rejoice in it, Lord, to have this joy that you spoke about on that first Christmas morning. And today I want to ask, you know, maybe there's somebody here who's never really turned their heart to Jesus. I know earlier in the day, Greg shared the scripture where Jesus said, I'm standing at the door and knocking. And I wonder if maybe you sense God knocking upon the door of your heart this morning. Why does he do that? It's because he wants to reconcile you. He wants to take away the sins of our life, put his Holy Spirit inside of us, and make us new. If you're here today and you've never really asked Jesus to be your Lord, came to that place of surrender to him, could I ask you to just pray with me? Just say a simple prayer. And again, it's nothing magic about the prayer. It's really the dedication of your heart. But a prayer is something like this. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know my life has not been what you want it to be. And because of your goodness, I know that judgment would come. But also, I know your love in sending Jesus. And so today, I want to accept your gift of sending Jesus. For my life, I ask you to forgive me and help me to live for you every day for the rest of my life. If you pray something like that and believe it, then God's going to come into your heart and give you new life. And if you've done that this morning, would you let me know before you leave? Hey, I prayed to receive Jesus. That'd be good to know. The rest of us, and let's take up those four symbols and share with somebody this year. Maybe during Christmas, you know somebody. Tell somebody the good news of why Jesus came.